Good evening. Out of the material we covered last week, I would like to isolate four main points that will have an important bearing on this week's subject matter. Let's look at them with this brief review chart. First of all, let's recognize that you act because of consequences at all times. One of the false impressions given by standards of objective morality or so-called absolute morality is that one should act morally regardless of the consequences, when in truth, of course, this is exactly the opposite of what morality is. Morality's purpose is to give the individual greater insight into what the consequences will be than he would have if he were simply looking at all the superficial evidence available to him at the moment. A striking example of this, I think, would be the fundamentalist Christian who believes that there is a literal heaven and hell that will be his reward or punishment for what he does here on earth. Now, if he turns down a temptation that others would jump at, he may say that he is doing this, or he is not doing this act, because it would be immoral. And the impression sometimes is given that he has chosen to be moral in spite of the adverse consequences to himself of giving up his own happiness. Now, actually, of course, it is precisely because of the consequences, as he sees them, that he has acted. He has acted to maximize his happiness, to gain entrance to heaven rather than to hell. It is the consequences he's taking into consideration by passing up the temptation. And this isn't limited only, of course, to religiously oriented moralities. An example might be the libertarian who refuses to steal or to accept a government subsidy, maintaining that his principles transcend any other gains or happiness that he might achieve, meaning the consequences that he might have. Well, he may select his self-esteem as being the standard for acting in spite of the consequences to himself. But to say that he is acting in spite of the consequences is just as unrealistic as the case of the Christian that I just cited, because both of them are acting for the consequences, because of the consequences as they see them, rather than in spite of them. Now, in some cases, I think the Christian may be more aware that he is acting for consequences than the libertarian is, because he's continually reminded that eternal well-being will be his if he follows a certain code of conduct. The libertarian often does not have such an enticing future to look forward to, and so he's trying to find a different standard. But no matter what the situation involved, the point is simply that you act because of the consequences to you. And one of the advantages of having what we think of as a morality or a long-term code of conduct is that it gives you the opportunity to act automatically in certain instances because you do not have to have all of the superficial evidence available to you. You don't have to examine this particular case on its own merits because you know that in all cases a certain consequence will follow a certain act, so you don't even bother having to investigate. Now, secondly, if your acts are to be based on the consequences they will bring, what consequences are you after? Naturally, good consequences. But what are good consequences? Well, as we defined it last week, good means that which brings you happiness. And thus, this must be clearly identified, I believe, in order to establish a meaningful code of conduct. It was presented last week that mental well-being is the goal. And this is the state of existence that I applied the label happiness to. Happiness is not just whatever the individual happens to be doing. It is not an abstraction that exists only in a mathematical formula. It's a very real state of mental consciousness, one that can be clearly identified by the individual. Do I have the feeling of well-being within me, in my mind, or do I not? It is something very, very tangible. I'm either experiencing it or I'm not. If I am, I may be fooled into thinking that what I'm experiencing will be more durable, more long-lasting than it really will be. Or I may overlook the tragic consequences I will pay tomorrow for the little bit of well-being I'm getting today. So these are matters I have to discover and use to my advantage. But it doesn't alter the fact that I do know when I am happy and when I am not. And it is this state of mental well-being that I'm seeking and nothing else. Now, the reason I'm not letting this point alone after beating it to death last week is that it is so easy to get swallowed up in false goals, thinking that these false goals are the object somehow and forgetting the fact that they are only means to an end, as we will look at a little bit later this evening. But any attempt to postulate something else as the goal is going to fall because there is no tangible standard. Money, reputation, self-esteem.